Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 89, The Dark Brotherhood. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is this week's co-host, my nemesis, Pete Michaud.
Hello, Chris.
Howdy, Pete. Thanks for joining me this week. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about in the world of Nintendo this week. We just had a Nintendo Direct, so that's going to be a big focus of this episode. And we've also got our big topic this week, which is going to be the state of the Nintendo Switch. We're 6 weeks out from the system's launch, and so we're going to sort of follow that up, see how things are looking 6 weeks out from launch. But before we get to that, Pete, I would sort of like you to introduce yourself to the audience. You know, if someone just looks at you, they might think you're like some hobo I found on the street, but that's actually not the case. You actually have quite a pedigree. We worked together at Nintendo Power, and you were at Nintendo for a good number of years.
We did, and just wanted to say, you know, really quick, thank you so much for having me. Your show is great. Longtime listener and all that. So you and I worked together back in, what was it, like 2004, 2000?
It was 2005 to 2007.
All right. Yeah, so in the capacity we worked at Nintendo Power, I was sort of the screenshot guru, and you would basically request a specific screenshot from a specific point in the game in which you wanted a screenshot from, and I would basically go fetch it.
Well, that was one of your duties, right? I mean, you were the screenshot guy, and everybody who was a writer would go to you and say, okay, this is what I need screenshots of. Although perhaps I had more instruction than most, I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, it's funny because I remember you and I had a very particular relationship where I worked with other folks, and
I'm not sure what this means.
It was just like, hey, I want, I need like a screenshot of Wind Waker. But Chris Hoffman would be like, oh no, so I need you to go to, a specific island, and I need you to, I want you swimming in the water while this other enemy is firing things at you, and, anyway, it was a very...
Go to Dragon Roost style while it's dark and have Octorok shooting at you in the background while you're trying not to drown. That sounds about right.
That was my life for 2 years. Anyways, no, and then on top of that, of course, I got to do some writing. I did a couple... I actually did a handful of reviews. I kind of ran the... there was like a top 200 Nintendo games of all time. That was really fun.
And of course, it actually started a little bit before I got there.
Yeah, and of course I tried to, jam as much Kid Icarus into the magazine as possible. And then I also sort of became like a reoccurring guest in a lot of the magazine. There was a lot of random articles we did where they needed a picture of somebody with a beard, or maybe...
That's right. You do have quite the beard. Quite the burly red hobo beard.
Oh, you shouldn't. There was one time we did a Mario DDR piece with George. Okay.
And that would have been before my time with the magazine, but it sounds amusing.
Yeah, so what happened was they wanted to kind of show Mario training for, getting ready to dance. So one of the things I had to do was actually get in the Mario costume. Pretty much any time the Mario costume was needed, it was me in it. Jim, our lead photographer in the magazine at the time, actually called like some farm, and he rented a slaughterhouse room with a hanging cow.
Okay.
Basically Rocky style. They wanted Mario to be punching a slab of dead meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much assumed that that was going to be the end of my life. Like I thought they were going to take out Jim, take out, I think there was somebody else there, and I can't remember who it was now. But then I thought that, they would just lock me up in the Mario suit, and you've seen Pulp Fiction and something similar to that.
Well, if there is anybody qualified to be in a Mario suit punching a dead cow, it is you, Pete.
Well, thank you.
Now, somehow, somewhere along the line, you became my nemesis at Nintendo Power, and I became your nemesis. I'm not quite sure how that happened. Do you remember?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Was it just because I was so needy with my screenshots?
Yeah.
Or was there something else?
Yeah, I don't, honestly, I don't know. I remember you would always try and touch my beard. And even if you couldn't touch it, you would gesture like you were trying to touch it. And that freaked some folks out. I don't know if that was me included, but it definitely was. It was definitely, we had a good banter, I think. We had a good little back and forth.
Well, I think that's what a good nemesis would do, would try to yank off his nemesis's beard. Anyway, I don't remember how it started, but I do know sort of the high point of the Nemesis relationship.
Oh, I know where
this
is
going.
Was when
I needed you to take screenshots of Final Fantasy VI Advance, which, of course, is a massive, massive game. And I was doing a strategy guide walkthrough for it in Nintendo Power. And I went through the entire game and I did almost everything. And there were like four new dungeons or something. And I completed like, you know, 99.8% of the game. I just had one more of these dungeons to finish before I was completely done. And so you were grabbing screenshots from that. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
So somehow, actually, I want to go back a minute. I want to say that, not to toot my own horn too much, but at that time, you know, this was kind of pre-Nintendo being online. So you couldn't just go look up like a save file for a game and go find it and then use that to, you know, pull up the screenshot. You had to actually get to that point. So yeah, you brought your game in because it would take an exorbitant amount of time to get to where you were. And then yeah, somehow I goofed in the menu. I swear it wasn't my fault, but you know, I'll take the consequences. And anyway, so long story short, I somehow deleted your save file.
You did. You completely erased my game, and I lost all those hours of progress.
How many hours do you think it was?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Final Fantasy VI isn't like the longest RPG, but man, I leveled up like every character to level 99, because getting through those new bonus dungeons was really, really tough. So, I don't know, probably somewhere around 60 hours or something, maybe.
Oof.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
But yes, you managed to erase my game, as a good Nemesis would.
You were not happy, I remember that.
No, I've still never got back to that point.
I think your face turned a little red, if I remember right.
I tried to get back, but yeah, I have never quite recovered from that, and still have not beaten that last dungeon in Final Fantasy VI Advance.
I remember I really didn't want to tell you, to be totally honest. I was considering just throwing the game out the window.
What else did you do at Nintendo aside from your screenshot gig and the writing at Nintendo Power? You had other things before you joined the NP crew, right?
Yeah, I kind of had a goofy background. I started in 1999 as a product tester, yeah. And it was before I had a beard, actually.
I know. You grew that beard while I was there.
I remember it was 99 because the year 2000 hadn't happened yet, and people were actually worried that, like, we couldn't work the next day because power would be out or something. Anyway, at the time, N64 was the current console, and Game Boy Color was also the newest top-of-the-line handheld.
That's right.
So that's a little bit dating myself. It was actually post-GoldenEye, because I remember being a little bitter that I didn't get to test that game, because that would have been great. But I did get to test Perfect Dark. And then, of course, I think the game that was on Game Boy Color, my first product in there was Pokemon trading card game Game Boy. And then I worked at a couple other gigs. One was basically brand management. I sort of escaped product testing and landed in a role in brand management under Gail Tilden.
I mean, at one time she was like the head of Nintendo Power, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's so weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That was way before I was there, though.
Yeah. Look, I want to just share like a tiny tidbit. When I first started there, I remember walking past, do you remember the Sky Bridge? And then there was Earthbound Conference Room. I remember walking past that conference room on occasion and seeing Mr. Arakawa and Peter Main and Howard Lincoln all just hanging out in that room discussing matters. And I would always think, man, like, I really just want to walk in there and say, hey, my name's Pete. You know, I'm just really happy to be here. And you guys are living legends, and I'd like to just say hello. But I never did. Always kind of regret that, but I also like don't know what I would have really said, and I might have lost my job, I guess. But
you probably should have said, please stroke my beard at least once.
Probably. I mean, who knows?
That would have worked. I think that would have been good.
And they might have. Anyway, so this brand management role, I drove the Pikachu car around the country several times. I think I've visited like something like 25 states in the Pikachu car. So the longest stint was, you know, they were doing the Eon Ticket Tour, I think to go with Ruby and Sapphire, if I remember right.
Huh, okay.
And I actually drove the car from New York, first time I'd ever been to New York, to Florida. all the way down to Key West, and then up to Topeka, Kansas. And there was actually six cars all doing this at the same time, and it was quite an adventure. And I was kind of help coordinating the whole thing, so it was really funny to hear check-ins from the other guys, and everybody got in tons of misadventures. Thankfully, it was all before social media, and none of it's, you know. if you remember seeing me, I apologize for anything I might have done.
Sounds pretty crazy.
Anyways, and then after that, after Nintendo Power, as you know, they outsourced the magazine, and I was offered a position on the online team, and so I moved to New York City. It really was a situation where I was like, well, if you don't move, you don't have a job. And
that's right. They sent the marketing group out to California. They sent Nintendo Power out to California. And then they sent the online group out to New York.
That's correct. And yeah, I didn't really
we're part of that.
Didn't really necessarily make sense to me. But, you know, I was part of that move. I think I was one of like five people that said yes. And then I ended up doing that for 5 years. Originally, I was a writer. I wrote all the copy for a lot of the websites that we did, a lot of the emails. I wrote like the copy for Wii Fit. The Wii had just launched, if you remember that. And so, yeah, kind of worked on a lot of those websites. And then I actually became a web producer, which in Nintendo terms, that means making websites to support all the games that Nintendo releases. So, yeah, I did New Super Mario Brothers Wii.com, and I did, you know, Metroid Other M.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I was...
So you're the one to blame for that.
Well, the website was pretty cool, not the... Well, okay.
Oh, just the website, not
yeah,
the... Okay.
Yeah, I didn't... Okay, you know, obviously, I didn't go to Japan and build a game or anything.
You wrote that story. It's your fault.
Yes.
We never found out who the eraser was.
Yes. I thought you're the Other M.
It's Other M, not Other Nem.
Oh, right. Yes. Right. I like what you did there.
All right. Well, quite a story. So like what, 13-year veteran or something like that? We'll pretend it's 13 years.
Yeah, like 12 and a half.
Okay. Close enough. But yeah, quite the storied history with Nintendo. Enough of that. Why don't we move along? Because there is a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's get into the news. Specifically, we just had a Nintendo Direct a little bit ago as we're recording this. And boy, it had a ton of stuff. I don't think there's ever been a Nintendo Direct that's had more stuff than that, all packed into one 35-minute presentation.
Yeah, it was a little overwhelming for sure.
Yeah, and some of it was stuff we already knew about. Some of it was things that didn't really have a whole lot of new information. Some of it was stuff like, hey, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is coming out really soon. Oh, here's a little bit of Sonic. Here's a little bit of Street Fighter. Here's a little bit of the re-release of Rayman. But some of the stuff was also brand new announcements, and some of it was, you know, new details on really big games. So, boy, we should just jump into some of this stuff. Let's start with the headliners. Let's talk about the two big upcoming Switch releases that were sort of the big center of attention in this presentation. Let's start with Splatoon 2.
Perfect. Yeah, Splatoon 2, looking good. I think that the big announcement was basically that you can now play four-player versus the computer.
Yeah, it's basically a horde mode. It's a new mode called Salmon Run, and you team up with, you know, your three co-op buddies, and you battle against waves of enemies called Chum, and then these boss salmon called the Steelhead. Mm-hmm. And you're collecting power eggs and golden eggs, and you're trying to store these in a basket, and I guess just last long enough to defeat all the enemies, grab your eggs, and make off with your egglicious booty.
Yeah, it actually, to me, I mean, you summed it up well. I think, to me, it seems like the right thing for Splatoon, sort of like the next step.
I like it.
Yeah, because it really gives people a chance to play it without having to play competitively, which... As you know, I've heard you talk about it a little bit. I am pretty much garbage at Splatoon 2 online.
Yeah, I kind of suck with the versus online. So it'll be fun to be able to actually go on there, team up with some friends, and still have a good time laying waste to the bad guys without getting my tentacles handed to me by the other players.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, this seems like a cool new mode, and I'm looking forward to it. They also talked about the new Splatoon 2 amiibo. There's going to be a brand new Inkling boy, a brand new Inkling girl, and a brand new Inkling squid. And the way you use them to like unlock these amiibo friends in the game is sort of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand the purpose.
Yeah,
it says
neither.
It can select your favorite gear and weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy way to equip yourself if you're like over at a friend's house or something. But hey, the Switch is portable. You don't need to take your amiibo. You can take the whole system with you when you're at your friend's house. So
yeah.
I don't know. I guess there's more to it than that. But it'll be interesting to find out. And then, of course, perhaps the biggest news about Splatoon 2 is that it is coming out on July 21st. We actually have a release date. It's earlier than I expected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, July 21st. That's not terribly far off. It's less than 4 months away. So that's pretty cool.
Not too shabby. It's cool because, you know, the one thing I think I was coming into this session with you, I was thinking they really need to kind of get the dates out there because people own the system now. They really want to just play more games. I know that me personally, I love it, and I just keep thinking like, oh yeah, I wonder when the next big game will come out, and now we know a couple, so that's great.
Yep, indeed. It's really good to have that date to look forward to, and I know there's a game that lots and lots of people are really anticipating, so that is great to know.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like there's a ton we haven't found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, just one new mode. I was expecting a lot more than just one new mode and amiibo details and a release date, but hey, they've still got, you know, several months. We've still got E3 between now and then, so there's plenty of time for all that good stuff.
Sure, and you and I have never really talked about this, but are you an amiibo fan?
Oh, man. You must have missed that episode of the podcast. I am a huge amiibo fan. I have every single amiibo that's been released. Every single figurine, not the cards.
You're messing
but
with
yeah,
me.
I am not.
Wow.
Got to catch them all, man.
That is impressive.
Insane is probably the word you're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's not as insane as the time where I was going to shave my beard and you were hoping that I would put it in a Ziploc and give it to you.
Well, perhaps not, but it's still pretty insane.
It's pretty insane.
Were you going somewhere with that amiibo question, or do you just want to talk about beard shavings?
Oh, yeah. So just curious because, you know, I didn't really catch the fever. I get the draw for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Literally my bank account just can't take another thing that I'm dipping into it for. So
I'm gonna have to take out a loan.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think that's what I'm most impressed about. And especially if you don't get the ones from the store, you end up having to pay kind of top dollar
mm-hmm.
through more shady methods, which you probably love and enjoy.
I'm not quite sure what you're alluding to, but I have had to get some from Japan, from overseas on occasion.
Hmm.
Although the mania seems to have died down a little bit. But yeah, who knows? With these new ones, I don't know. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully everything will still be fairly easy to obtain as it has been for the past year or so.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I definitely love the idea. It's just, for me personally, it's just kind of, it's one of those like, you know, expendable things that I just can't really deal with. So
I suppose. I mean, I've got a collector mentality to begin with. I collect other toys and other video game collectibles and action figures and merchandise. And so Amiibo having one unified line from Nintendo
right.
was like, you know, perfect for me.
Right.
So yeah, I've got a lot of shelf space dedicated to those suckers.
Yeah. And I think the coolest thing to me is that they actually, I've always wanted like a little Mac figure, right? They just mm-hmm. They just completely ignored Punch-Out
right,
for the entire, you know, forever. Or Captain Falcon, or I don't know. There's just
Duck Hunt Dog.
Exactly.
Whoever expected Duck Hunt Dog,
right?
You know?
Or Rob the Robot, or like any mm-hmm. of the other. I mean, even like some of the Animal Crossing characters and whatnot. Like Cap'n. Who wants a Cap'n figure? I mean, of course I do. And I, you know, I've considered actually going through and buying some of the choice ones that I want, but it's a slippery slope, my friend, and before you know it, you turn into you. and being your Nemi,
that's the last thing you want.
Makes perfect sense that you have them all and I have like one or two.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
So moving on to their other big headline game, that would be ARMS. And we also got an official release date for that one.
Mm-hmm.
It is coming out on June 16th. You know, they promised this was going to be a spring release, which I always think is hilarious because it's all about people with springs for arms. And it's just barely coming in under that deadline. I think summer starts like, you know, June 20th or 21st. And it comes out just like 5 days before that. Still going to make the spring deadline, but just barely.
Yeah, definitely. And that game, to me, looks exciting. I played it a little bit at one of the preview events in New York.
Yep, me too.
And I thought it was really promising. It kind of follows that same logic as like Splatoon, where...
Yes, very much so.
It feels like a new version of Nintendo. It's like...
Yeah, it's colorful and crazy and new IP, new characters, trying something a little bit different, a little bit wacky. And who knows, it just might work.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the big emphasis in the Nintendo Direct was about the different weapons, the different attachments to mm-hmm. your arms. That, you know, you can have a regular glove or a multi-shot or a boomerang or a whip or a curving attack. And then you can charge them up with attributes like fire, electricity, ice, wind, explosion, stun, and blind.
Right.
And I think their whole point is just there is a lot of depth to the combat. It's not just... swinging your fists and punching each other back and forth. There is actually a lot to this game.
Right. Yeah, I started thinking about it. And when you have all those different choices of arms and characters, especially because mm-hmm. you can do different one on your left versus your right.
Yes.
I think that, like, honestly, you could almost have unlimited combinations, really. There's no chance you're really going to fight somebody who has the same. Although I'm sure there are some that are going to be a little bit, like, overpowered. But, you know, thanks to the console being online, they can always nerf things if needed and adjust. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to find their favorites, and some are going to find that some are more effective than others. But, you know, some might be effective more for you than they are for other people. So it's all about how you use it. And I like the fact there is going to be so much strategy.
Right.
We also got to see the new character, Min Min, who has these kick attacks and for some reason is noodle-themed and arms are noodles and one turns into a dragon. It's kind of weird. It's very weird.
I like that her arena looks like a bowl of ramen.
It's bizarre. I did notice that.
I
don't know why they're so excited about ramen. I guess they're just big fans of ramen. And I've got objection to that.
Was it one of her arms like Ram Ram? It's like what? Min Min and Ram Ram, or maybe I'm getting that
wrong. I think
wrong.
The Ram Ram was the glove attachment.
Right.
But I'm not exactly sure what it did. But yeah, I'm surprised they've only shown six characters so far, because they'd only shown five up until this point. Right. And I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, there's hardly any characters in this game.
Right.
And you know, maybe they're right. I was expecting there to be at least, you know, 10 or 12. The fact they only showed one new one makes me wonder if that's really the case. There's got to be more than what they've shown.
Do you think Min Min was the Megaton announcement? Or
Not for me. That was the thing, is I thought they were going to go all out with arms and like tell us everything there is in the game.
Right.
And it felt to me like they're still holding back. They did announce, though, that there is going to be two-on-two battles, not just one-on-one, and that sounds pretty darn cool.
Right. That's cool. I actually think, like, I started thinking about, like, the cost of all those accessories. It boggles the mind, really, when you really stop and think about it. The Joy-Cons are not the cheapest thing in the world, but it also kind of harkens back to, if you remember... this actually, I think, was occurring around the time you and I worked together, but the whole connectivity and how to play something like, you know, those Final Fantasy games that came out, you'd need roughly $500 to $600 worth of product to actually experience it the way it was intended. But, you know, I think that with Switch, it's actually realistic because... you have people who own, you know, as long as you own a console, you have two controllers. So I think that, you know, it's as much as that's kind of ridiculous, it's realistic.
Well, plus, you know, I've got a Switch. My friend has a Switch. If I'm going to go over and do some two-on-two gameplay, I will bring my controllers over there. So it's not like he's going to have to supply them all or anything.
Right. And I just want to clarify that.
I think it'll help that
way. I am not one of the friends you're referring to because we're nemesis. And
that's right. We are nemesis. I mean, maybe we'll punch each other in the face, I suppose. We won't be on the same team, definitely.
Correct.
We can't do that.
That's right.
Absolutely not. So, ARMS, you're already excited. Does this stuff make you more excited? Are you definitely going to be picking this one up?
I think so. ARMS has a lot of promise. It does worry me that it's just multiplayer only. And
Wait, multiplayer? No, you can fight the CPU, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure that's true. But it's also like, you know, I'm not used to that kind of... I don't make a lot of purchases that are that style of game anymore. You know, Punch-Out made sense. And if
it's a one-on-one or a two-on-two arena fighting game.
Yeah, if it is that way, and I guess there's online too, of course, but I'll have to weigh that one. But I would lean towards buying it if only to support Nintendo in that direction. I really like the fact that they're making these new IPs. They're making, you know, these new attempts to kind of expand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, their market. So it's cool.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not totally sold yet either, but I do like the idea. I do like the way it's going. I'm just waiting to hear more about it because I think from what we know so far, it feels a little content light, but I'm still expecting there to be more.
You're right. And I think that like over the amount of time, like you'd expect, as you said, there should be more information. And I think we will see more. So maybe they're just kind of like, you know, hedging their bets. Now, does E3 happen prior to that? Is you think that's maybe what
it's right around that date? Yeah. So probably not.
Right. So yeah, who knows? Maybe they're just trying to pace themselves a bit.
Anyway, those were the two biggest games that were at the Nintendo Direct, ARMS and Splatoon 2, but they certainly were not the only things. There were tons of other products, including numerous new Switch game announcements. So let me just go down the list here a little bit.
Let's do it.
We first of all got Minecraft on Switch, which I forget if that was a completely new announcement or not. I know I've heard about Minecraft being on Switch before, but maybe that was just Minecraft story mode. Anyway, we know for sure Minecraft is coming with 8-player online, with the Super Mario mashup pack that was available on Wii U, and it's going to be coming out on the eShop on May 11th, followed by a physical release later.
Yeah, that actually looks pretty cool. I'm not a big Minecraft guy, but
yeah, I've never got into it myself.
Yeah, but all
I've never really tried either.
All the little additions and they're really making a hard case not to get that if you are into Minecraft at all, especially with the multiplayer and all that. It just seems like a pretty good value.
Yeah, it does seem pretty cool. I mean, especially if you are a series fan. In addition to that, we've got Fate Extella, the Umbral Star. That was a game that came out on PS4 in the U.S. earlier this year, and now it is coming to Switch, courtesy of Xseed. It's an action game, sort of like the Dynasty Warriors games, where you're fighting like hundreds or thousands of enemies all at once, right, and just racking up that body count. And that's, you know, there really aren't that many, you know, games of that type on the Switch yet. Mm-hmm. So it's a welcome addition. It's coming out on July 25th.
Absolutely. Plus, it's got the coolest name in the lineup.
It is a pretty, I will say, bizarre name. It has a bizarre name. But what about Sin Mora X? That's a pretty epic name as well.
That's true.
And also a pretty epic looking side scrolling shooter.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I know that game has existed on other consoles, correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure of its history. I don't have a wealth of knowledge about it, but it looks really cool, and I'm certainly glad it's coming to the Switch, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those, like, cool shoot 'em ups that you're always, like, in the mood for every now and then.
Yeah, the genre doesn't exactly get a lot of love these days, so it's really nice to see something like that coming out, and it's hitting this summer. Then we've also got Battle Chasers Night War, which is an old-school inspired turn-based RPG that is based on the comic book. I've actually have no experience with the comic book whatsoever, but I do like, you know, turn-based RPGs, so that seems kind of neat.
Yeah,
it's also coming out this summer.
Had a really cool art style, kind of reminded me of like a Diablo or something, just from the isometric overhead, from what I saw of it, but then of course with the turn-based, but it did look pretty cool. I was interested in that.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic about that one. Then we found out that Payday 2 is on the way. That is the kind of thing that, you know, certainly we don't usually get on Nintendo systems at all. It's a heist game. You play as criminals and rob banks. And I imagine that it's probably going to be M-rated.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's different. It's mature. It's coming from Starbreeze, and it arrives this fall.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because that kind of game, and, you know, I hate to say this, but that kind of game, if it came out on Wii U, I wouldn't even pay two ticks of an attention to. I would just move on. But that in particular, because it's on a handheld, because it's a portable system, it actually has my interest. It's almost like, you know, I can't play Grand Theft Auto the way I'd like to play it on the go, but that one in particular actually looks like it might, you know, scratch that itch. And the fact that you can, you know, now play it on an airplane is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's not really the kind of thing that's, you know, in my wheelhouse just yet, but I'm interested. I'm glad it's coming out, and I hope it does find its audience.
I love that developer name, by the way.
Also on the way, we've got Namco Museum, which includes 10 classic games such as Pac-Man, Galaga, Splatterhouse, Sky Kid, Rolling Thunder, Dig Dug, and Tank Force. That is hitting the eShop this summer. And then there is Project Makuru, which is a Nintendo published and developed eShop title. It's sort of like Splatoon Lite, in which the idea is you are changing the arena to your color to claim victory. Only instead of spraying paint, you're like doing a jumping stomp, and then you flip the panels and they turn to your color. So it's a four-player multiplayer game.
Yeah, it actually looks really interesting to me. I think that the character models kind of reminded me a little bit of Metroid Prime.
Federation Force.
Federation Force.
Yes, you're totally right. You remind me of that too.
Yeah, because they almost look like they're all wearing headgear and whatnot. But that being said, it's a very cool looking concept, and again, totally Splatoon, but in a different format.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if it works.
Yeah, I'm not super excited about this one yet, but if it's just an eShop game, it's only like $5 or something, then it could totally be worthwhile.
All right, why not?
So in addition to all that Switch stuff, there were a bunch of 3DS announcements as well. And the one that I am most excited about is Monster Hunter Stories.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I keep trying to get into the Monster Hunter series, but it's never really grabbed me like I want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't just going out and slaying monsters. This is a actual RPG. And you become a monster rider. You ride and train your monsters, and then you can use their abilities to reach new parts of the world map by swimming or flying or smashing through obstacles, sort of like ride Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you engage in turn-based battles. So I guess it's sort of Monster Hunter meets Pokemon with a little more traditional JRPG, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did not think this game was going to come to the U.S., so I am very excited that it has a North America announcement. It's coming out in fall. I am definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you know, is that out in Japan yet?
Yes, it came out in Japan late last year. And in fact, there were 6 amiibo launched alongside with it. Well, 3 amiibo that came out with it, 3 amiibo that came out later. I already have the amiibo. They did not say if the amiibo are coming out over here, but I've already got them and they are ready to go.
That's
got to
be tickling
when that game comes
your whisker
out.
Hairs, right? I'd imagine.
Sure, why not?
that game actually looks really intriguing. I think there's 2 things that go in my head. One is I'm gonna call out Final Fantasy Mystic Quest as being sort of the little misfit stepchild of the Final Fantasy series.
Okay.
In the sense that it felt like a baby game for babies, to quote Steve Thomason. But I think that, you know, I worry just a tiny bit that when I see Monster Hunter Stories, that's kind of the vibe I get. But at the same time, I just worry that it's because it's bucking the trend of the normal game, that it all of a sudden is going to just be, you know, super dumbed down. That being said, it actually looks really cool. And I think that as promising as it appears, I think that I would definitely be interested in purchasing.
Yeah, I love the more anime art style. I love hearing that it's more RPG than just monster hunting action. So yeah,
totally,
very excited for that.
And I love Monster Hunter, but that game, that format, it kills me. Like, I just can't do it. I try, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did we just agree on something? Nah.
Let's worry about that later.
Right.
Yeah. Also on the way, Yo-Kai Watch 2 Psychic Spectres. So this is the third version of Yo-Kai Watch 2, in addition to Bony Spirits and Fleshy Souls, which came out last year.
Hmm.
And this version adds new quests, lets you visit a new monster resort area, and has expanded co-op multiplayer. It's going to be coming out in fall of this year.
Have you been into the Yo-Kai Watch series at all?
Not so much. I played the demos of both Yo-Kai Watch 1 and 2. I picked up Yo-Kai Watch 1, but I never really sunk my teeth into it. What about you?
No, I didn't. I did see... I went to an event they had at Comic-Con, I think, 2 years ago now.
Okay.
And I like the art style. It looks very fun. I just have never been able to get into it.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it seems like it just hasn't quite caught on in the U.S. like it has overseas. But perhaps with this new edition, it'll finally have its chance.
Mm-hmm.
Another RPG that's on the way for 3DS is Miitopia. This game was announced overseas a while back. I think it's even out overseas. But we haven't heard anything about it coming to North America until now. And it is the Mii-based RPG. It has sort of traditional turn-based battles, but has wacky character classes and emphasis on character relationships. So the characters may perform assists, or they might perform really poorly in battle, depending on these character relationships. So it's got this whole sort of relationship management aspect. And of course, you can, you know, recruit Mii's that are based on your friends or celebrities, or even based on your nemesis if you want. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny. When I first looked at that game, I assumed it was for the Mii Plaza.
Yeah, it does have that very same aesthetic.
Yeah, so it kind of feels like a Mii Plaza Plus title or something. But it is funny. I would even consider having you in it just to see what kind of wacky hijinks you might get involved in if you were in my party.
Oh, yes. We'll have to see how that goes, sir. We shall see.
Plus good screenshots and all that.
It's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does look kind of like a Mii Plaza game, but I think it's, you know, way, way deeper than any of that stuff. So I would like to give this one a spin.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Curious. It's like a really funny concept, and I'm curious to see what they do with it.
And then, on top of that stuff, they announced some new products to celebrate Kirby's 25th anniversary. I believe Kirby's 25th anniversary in Japan is sometime this month, so it's a good time to be announcing this stuff. So we've got Team Kirby Clash Deluxe, which is an enhanced version of one of the mini games from Planet Robobot, mm-hmm. and apparently it's out right now. In fact, I'm downloading it as we're doing this recording.
I almost don't believe you.
It's a free-to-start game, as they say, with in-app purchases.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm grabbing that. I'll be trying it out soon. And then there's Kirby's Blowout Blast, which is a top-down 3D perspective action game, and it's an enhanced version of Kirby 3D Rumble, also from Planet Robobot. Mm-hmm. But it's not coming out till fall.
I'm sorry, that name is over the top.
Kirby's Blowout Blast?
I can't.
Okay, well, I've got no comment on that. Yeah. And then there's a brand new multiplayer Kirby action game coming out on the 3DS for the holiday season. They didn't show anything about that. They didn't give any details. But, you know, the last Kirby game was great. I loved Planet Robobot. I can't say I'm too excited about these, you know, slightly enhanced mini games converted to eShop titles. Mm-hmm. But a new Kirby game for the holidays should be pretty cool.
Yeah, there was so much Kirby, I couldn't actually believe it. And, you know, I just want
to... I can.
I just want to go...
Nita loves Kirby.
You're right. But I want to go on a tangent for 2 seconds. Can you believe that they're doing a 25-year anniversary for Kirby, and there's like, you know, what happened with Metroid? Just tell me that. Yeah. Just tell me that.
Other M happened with Metroid, and it has some stigma going on, I'm afraid.
I know.
But of course, you know, Kirby, that came from Sakurai. Iwata loved it. So they were always very attentive to that series and made sure that it always was shining. Unfortunately, Metroid did not get that kind of care, and so Samus is left crying in the corner.
But Kid Icarus as well, you know.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that you know of other 25-year anniversaries that probably should have happened just because you know, you're the game guru.
I'm sure there are many. In fact, this year is the 30th North American anniversary of some really notable games like NES Punch-Out and Pro Wrestling. But if I start to get into that, then we'll be here all day.
All right, fair.
But guess what? We're still not done with content from the Nintendo Direct. We had a bunch of updates on games that we already knew were on the way, in addition to all that new stuff. We got to take a new look at the 3DS Pikmin title. It is now known as, Hey, Pikmin! I don't know why they're upset at the Pikmin, but sounds like somebody's upset with the Pikmin. Still, the game looks really cool. We get to see Captain Olimar tossing Pikmin to balance scales to raise platforms, swim underwater, smash crystals, build bridges, collect objects, and avoid these giant enemies like this massive, scary purple eel, ultimately so he can find parts and rebuild his ship. And we found out that one is coming out on July 28th.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I mean, Pikmin, cool franchise. It's cool to see them try, you know, something new with it.
Yeah, I'm glad to see them doing something new and innovative.
Let's do it.
Yeah, totally. And there is a new Pikmin amiibo. Now, we already had a really cool Smash amiibo with Captain Olimar with Pikmin on it. But this does not have the Captain. It is just the Pikmin. And I love it. There's tons of detail. It looks glorious. I can't wait to add that one to the collection. We found out that it calls in some backup Pikmin, but I guess there are more details that they said they will share later about how this amiibo functions in the game.
Does that work in real life, or is that just the game?
Probably in real life. You'll have to check it out. Try rubbing it on your forehead.
All right. Maybe in my beard? Would that be a...
No, the Pikmin will get trapped in your beard, and you'll never find them again. We also got a brief update on Ever Oasis, the action RPG from Grezzo. We found out it is now coming out on June 23rd of this year. And there was also an update for Bye Bye Box Boy, which was kind of announced by Nintendo on social media last month, then disappeared off the face of the earth, missed its announced release date last month, and now it came out today. It came out during the Nintendo Direct. So you can say hello to Bye Bye Box Boy. It is now out. But that one does not get the amiibo
still. I was going to say.
They got an amiibo in Japan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I was imagining you have the Box Boy in the Japanese version. Yes.
I have the amiibo. I don't have the Japanese game, but I have the amiibo. So
right.
If that functionality is still in there, I will definitely be trying it out. Unfortunately, I have depleted my eShop funds at the moment, so I'll have to restore that before I get the game. Otherwise, I would have bought it and tried it out before we record this episode, but it's going to have to wait a little longer.
How is that amiibo? Is it all that you'd imagine?
As I have mentioned on the podcast before, it is the worst amiibo. It is the stupidest amiibo. It is basically just a square with legs and eyes drawn on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so small. It is the smallest amiibo, the most undynamic pose. I can't believe I paid like $15 plus shipping for that thing.
I can totally believe that.
That is like the ultimate representation of my amiibo addiction. Anyway, I'm glad the game is out, and I'll be downloading it as soon as I am able.
Mm-hmm.
They also mentioned on this Nintendo Direct a couple games from NIS America. They were actually announced a while back, but for some reason we just didn't have time to talk about them on the podcast, mm-hmm. So I'll bring them up briefly right now. First of all, we've got Culdcept Revolt, which is coming out on August 29th on the 3DS, and it's sort of this dark fantasy card meets board game title.
Mm-hmm.
And the series has been around a long time. I think I played Culdcept on PlayStation 2, but I never really got into it. But it's cool to see that the game is coming out here, and I really like the artist involved, so that is pretty neat.
Yeah, not familiar with the Culdcept series, but
yeah, it's got a bit of a learning curve, but it's definitely different from what else is out there, and it's it scratches an itch that other games really don't on the 3DS, mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people will like it. And then there's RPG Maker Fess. I don't know what the Fess means, but
yeah, I thought maybe I was going to ask you that. What does that mean? Did somebody forget the T?
I have no idea. But as it implies, you get to create your own RPG. You design the world, you design the map, you make towns and dungeons, you write the script, you choose the characters, and then you can share the game online. And there's even a free download called RPG Maker Player coming to the eShop, so you can get that. And then you can play the games for free that other people make, which is a really, really neat feature. Because I had an RPG Maker game back on PlayStation 1, mm-hmm. and you know, I had a really, really great time with it, but the only way I could let people play is if they came over to visit me, or I brought it into work or something and showed it off.
I think you did bring that into work and showed it off.
I did.
I think there was a Mr. T adventure, or maybe that was your character.
Yes,
or
yes,
something.
I did. Yeah. Mr. T Gets a Job was the game I made.
Wow. Wow.
It was fantastic. And I believe there might have been a screenshot of the title screen somewhere in Nintendo Power.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think I think you brought it in because I had to take a screenshot.
Yes, I believe that is so.
Amazing.
Anyway, the game is getting a regular edition that is $40. And then there's a limited edition that comes with a 36-page art book and a soundtrack CD for $50. I think it's kind of weird to have an art book for a game that's all about, you know, creating it yourself and, you know, custom content. But obviously there's a lot of stuff that is, you know, pre-built into the game, character portraits and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's only $10 more than the regular edition. So, mm-hmm. you know, why not go for it if you got the money to spare?
So would you consider getting that and trying to recreate Mr. T Gets a Job?
No, I would make Mr. T Gets a Job 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Nice.
Please look forward to it. All right, just a couple more things. There were some Switch hardware announcements. We found out that on May 19th, there will be a standalone Switch dock, so you can buy extra docks in case you don't want to have to unhook your dock, but still hook it up to different TVs conveniently, so you can go and buy an extra one of those, mm-hmm. or a couple extra ones of those, mm-hmm. you know? And then on June 16th, alongside the release of ARMS, there will be new neon yellow Joy-Con controllers and a new battery pack add-on that you can use so you don't have to, you know, recharge your Joy-Cons all the time. You can just add this attachment. It uses AA batteries and give yourself extra life for your Joy-Cons on the go, I suppose.
I gotta say, the Switch probably has the most crazy amount of accessories.
It does.
For how early on in its life cycle it is.
Yeah, for only being out 6 weeks, it's amazing how many different things are out there.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. And then, last, but certainly not least, there were also other Amiibo announced.
Amiibo!
In fact, during this Nintendo Direct, there were no fewer than 13 Amiibo revealed. We already talked about the Splatoon ones. We already talked about the Pikmin one. But finally, we have a release date for the remaining Smash Amiibo, those being Cloud, Corrin, and Bayonetta. But they didn't just release, you know, these new Amiibo. There are two versions. There's a Player 1 and a Player 2 version of each one. So you've got Final Fantasy VII Cloud and Advent Children Cloud. You've got Bayonetta from both Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta 2, and then you have both male and female Corrin. So that is pretty darn cool, you know, except for my bank account.
Yeah, as an Amiibo fan, like, how do you feel about all the announcements in this Nintendo Direct?
Oh, I'm super excited. I am super psyched. These are coming out on July 21st, and I've been waiting for these a long time. I can't wait. And now I'm like, okay, now give me Player 2 versions of all the other Smash Amiibo. Come on. Bring it on.
Are you chomping at the beard?
That's just gross. There are also three new Zelda Amiibo that you'll be able to use in Breath of the Wild. There is a Majora's Mask Link, a Twilight Princess Link, and a Skyward Sword Link coming out on June 23rd. And we know that those can be used to unlock new outfits. You can unlock a Skyward Sword outfit, and you can unlock a Fierce Deity outfit. So, yeah, those will have some cool uses in-game. Plus, you know, I love Zelda, I love Amiibo, so I'll be buying those even if they didn't do anything. So, super excited.
I haven't used it in Breath of the Wild yet. I have the Twilight Princess one that actually came with Twilight Princess.
Oh, the wolf.
Yeah, the wolf. I still have yet to use that, but I would like to.
That's actually the only one I haven't used. That one, of course, does make a wolf appear in-game that will, you know, pal around and, you know, help you fight enemies and stuff. Whereas all the other ones pretty much just get you in-game items, outfits, weapons, and other consumables. I actually use the Amiibo in the game a lot, especially when I'm running low on arrows.
I'll have to pick some up, I think.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to get all of these. I cannot wait for more Zelda and Smash Amiibo.
You can't just wait for Amiibos in general.
I'm very impatient when it comes to the Amiibo, yeah. The downside is some of these are retailer exclusives. And that was something I really hated with the old Smash Amiibo. It's like, oh man, why do I have to, you know, go to all these different stores? Why is it on Amazon where you can't pre-order it? Why do I have to line up at GameStop and then have them sell out? Oh, I'm still angry about that situation.
That's part of the fun, Hoffmander. Come on.
I like the hunt as long as it's not too overwhelming. So yeah, they haven't given out all the details yet, but hopefully it won't be too terribly hard to
find. It's like Pokemon Go in real life. I mean, come on, think about it.
if you say so. I think that pretty much wraps up all the important stuff from the Nintendo Direct. Pete, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I actually was just curious what you thought about the new format, the new look and feel of the Nintendo Direct itself.
To be honest, I don't really think a whole lot about it either way. And I think the format is fine, but I'm not sure what I really think of the... it was sort of a quantity over quality approach. Some things were just really, really rapid fire. It seems like they were just kind of throwing everything at us at once instead of picking and choosing. And I think that sort of, you know, devalued some of the stuff a little bit. Mm-hmm. So as far as that goes, I think it'd be better for them to be more choosy. But as far as the format goes, I certainly don't have any problems with it. I think the format works just fine, including having these bite-sized chunks. So
yeah,
I'm down with it.
I thought it was cool. I think that you know, you can actually look at it and tell that they actually put some thought into how it was going to be executed from here on out. And
yeah, the pacing was good. The pacing was definitely good.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. It kind of reminded me of when you watch, I don't know, if you watch ESPN or some of the news shows now, they have a little ticker that kind of tells you what the next thing that's coming up. It's kind of nice if you're, like, you know, not super, super into watching the entire episode. You can kind of skip around and just figure out what you want to watch from it. And I think that it's nice to see them kind of invest some a nice touch into that to be able to show those games in an interesting manner and give it kind of its own personality.
Okay. I think I'd have to agree with you.
Cool. Wait, did we agree again?
Moving on, just a little bit more news here. Got some merchandise I would like to talk about. I, for one, am very excited that the Ninja Gaiden soundtrack from Brave Wave is almost here. The pre-orders finally went up earlier this week. The digital release is going to be in just a day or two. And we have release dates for the vinyl and CD versions of the soundtrack. And of course, this has some really, really great classic NES music. It has the full soundtracks from Ninja Gaiden 1, Ninja Gaiden 2, The Dark Sword of Chaos, and Ninja Gaiden 3, The Ancient Ship of Doom, plus the arcade version of Ninja Gaiden. And Pete, I don't know if you were a big fan of the Ninja Gaiden music, but for me, I think that might have been the first video game soundtrack that I totally fell in love with.
Yeah, I've always liked Ninja Gaiden, obviously. I think that it didn't, the music didn't necessarily stand out to me more than, like, let's say, you know, the Castlevania theme song's still in my head, probably in your
head.
No,
that's still a great one.
Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, I know it's great. I would like to hear it again, actually.
Yeah, I went out and pre-ordered it immediately. It's broken down into two volumes, and they're available on CD for $15 a pop or digital for $12 each. For the vinyls, I think they're about $35 each. And there's also like a limited edition set that's $100. I'm not really into vinyl. Otherwise, I would probably be taking out a small loan for that one, too.
That's cool. But, I like the vinyl option. I mean, it's kind of cool. But that nothing's oh, yeah. nothing quite says hipster like the Ninja Gaiden soundtrack on vinyl.
Be that as it may, I am very excited about it personally. And can't wait to give them a full listen.
Nice.
Another bit of interesting merchandise is the Fighter Kirby statue coming from First Four Figures. As we discussed earlier, it is Kirby's 25th anniversary, so this is kind of a nice addition to that. But yeah, we've got a 13-inch tall Kirby statue from Return to Dreamland. It's Kirby kicking, wearing a headband, and he's got this sort of explosive spin kick burst off the edge of his foot. These, of course, are very expensive, as the First Four Figures statues are. There's a regular edition for $250, and then an exclusive version for $270 that have LEDs in the spin kick burst so it lights up.
Wow.
And this sucker will be out at the end of the year, so they say.
What do you think? Are you you interested?
Absolutely not. I like Kirby, but I do not love Kirby, and these things are very expensive. I do have a very few number of these First Four Figures statues. I have a Zelda one, I have a Mega Man one, I have a Knights one, but it's not exactly a collection that I plan to grow. So, yeah, not quite for me.
Yeah, they make some pretty cool figures.
Oh, they do. They definitely do.
Yeah.
You?
No, probably not. you know, like as you mentioned, the price is a bit steep if you're not a huge, huge Kirby fan.
Yeah.
But it does. I kind of like that he's got the headband. It kind of looks like, you know, 1980s Kirby or something like that. It's kind of fun. Flashdance Kirby.
And he's got the American angry Kirby eyes too.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so pretty cool, but yeah, definitely too rich for my blood, and yours too, it seems. Mm-hmm. And then the last bit of merchandise I wanted to talk about is the Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess manga. It came out last month, and I finally had a chance to sit down and read it, and I am very much enjoying it so far.
Cool, that's awesome. I actually, this escaped my attention, but of course, always kind of interested in anything that comes out of Japan involving Zelda.
Yeah, there have been lots of Zelda manga releases over the years, most of them under the Viz Kids label, but this one is not Viz Kids. This one is rated teen, and it's a bit more mature, and there's this one really unexpected, brutal plot twist that just totally hit me out of nowhere. So this is aged up just a little bit. I mean, it's not horrible. I mean, it's not M-rated. It is T for teen. And it fits with that. But boy, it really surprised me when that happened.
That's really cool. That more than anything, has kind of inspired me to go check this out. So,
and that's not the only difference between the game and the manga. And I suppose I should warn, slight spoilers ahead. Skip ahead a minute if you're worried about Twilight Princess spoilers. But right at the very beginning, you're introduced to Midna, like in her, you know, regular-looking humanish form. She's not an imp. So you're introduced to her as regular Midna. Wow. And the Twilight Realm, And, you know, they have a whole chapter introducing her. And then after that, it goes into Ordon Village, and there's all this stuff about Link's mysterious past. And, you know, in the game, you don't really know what he was doing before Ordon Village. Has he always been there his whole life? We don't really know. But in this manga, he definitely hasn't been, and they delve into that quite a bit.
That is interesting. Again, I'm telling you, it feels like a different Nintendo we're dealing with in the last few years. They've really started to make a lot of changes. I don't feel like you would have seen that happen maybe 5-10 years ago.
Well, the other Zelda manga take a lot of liberties as well, because when you're dealing with a property like that, you can't just rely on the action. You do have to have more characterization and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they all do. And that's definitely what this one has. So there's a lot more about Link, a lot more about Midna, a lot more about the Ordon villagers. And they're kind of hinting you might find out about who that skeletal knight is that you know, teaches Link those extra skills. And, you know, in the game, he's like, oh, some legendary warrior. Mm. Who is he? We might actually find out.
That's cool.
Thanks to this manga.
It's Simon Belmont. Spoiler alert.
Maybe it is. So this is the first volume. I believe it's going to be broken down into 4 volumes total. The second one comes out this summer. And yeah, I am definitely looking forward to getting the second and third and fourth volumes. It is fun. It is a little slow-paced. That is the criticism I often hear about the game, you know. It's very slow-paced. It takes a while to get started. And yes, it isn't until the very end of this volume, 200 pages in, that Link is finally going into the Twilight Realm and meeting up with Midna. So it's sort of just 200 pages of backstory. But nonetheless, I really like it, and I do recommend it for Twilight Princess fans.
Very cool.
All right, that does it for this portion of the show. So why don't we take a little intermission, and then when we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is Switch 6 weeks later. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is Switch 6 weeks later. The Switch came out 6 weeks ago, and you know, everyone started playing it, everyone started loving it, everyone was jumping in and going online and playing Zelda and enjoying the heck out of Nintendo's new system. They're still pretty hard to find. They were definitely hard to find then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how are we feeling about everything 6 weeks out? Is that excitement still there? Is that fun still there? Are we as positive now as we were 6 weeks ago? So that's what this week's big topic is all about. So, Pete, let me ask you, what are your thoughts 6 weeks into the system's launch? Is it still holding up for you? Are you still having fun?
I gotta say yes. The console is still really exciting. It's cool that you get to play your games anywhere you want now.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going back to it because of that. It's hard to separate Zelda from the Switch now because they're both tied together. But I find myself playing it everywhere now. Like, there's really no excuse not to play my console anymore.
Well, I have an excuse. My excuse is I do enjoy having that nice, big HD image on my television display. You know, I've taken the Switch with me when I've left town, but for some reason, I just haven't felt the urge. I don't want to play Zelda that way. I don't want to experience it that way. I don't mind playing other stuff. I don't mind playing Blaster Master that way. But when it comes to Zelda, for some reason, I'm really hung up on playing it on the big TV. I just like that experience way more. But I understand why other people, you know, want to be able to play it portably. And it is so amazing, technically impressive, you can have a game of this scope and this beauty on a handheld system that you can just take anywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's funny, is like you almost don't want to sully your experience, so you only want to play it on television, which I totally understand. In fact, there's been...
I'm also afraid that I'm going to like see a guardian and I'm going to freak out and like throw my system into the air and it'll break on the ground or something. So
you know,
that's part of it, I
having
think.
Played games with you before, I could actually see that happen.
Would you? I have never thrown a Wii Remote at the TV, I'll have you know.
No,
I've never had to use that stupid arm strap.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's the Wii Remote wrist strap, TM registered, something like that.
Something like that.
But no, I know what you're saying. And I, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I have played it away from the television before. And and I get to a new area or something, and then I'm like, man, I really want to put this on the TV just to see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And I find myself like noticing things and like, you know, exploring the environment a little bit more on the television because it's just so much like easier to see everything and really experience it and hear the music. The music in this game is amazing as well.
Yeah.
So to be able to hear that coming through your stereo as opposed to just headphones or just the speakers on the console itself, it is. It's a whole nother experience, but it is awesome to be able to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm definitely still having fun with it. I'm still getting a lot of mileage out of Zelda. I've played it quite a bit, and I am going very slowly. I am just exploring, as much of that world as I can. Just yesterday, I finally beat the third Divine Beast, but I still feel like there's a lot yet that I can see and explore. And so, you know, based sort of on that game alone, I'm still, you know, very much in love with this console. But I'm not sure that's the case with a lot of other people. When I was going online with the Switch, mm-hmm. during the first week or two, I would have so many friends on there, and I'd see like I've got 30 or 40 friends, and every single person is playing The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Sure.
Just everybody was playing that darn thing. Mm-hmm. And last night I was on there and it's only like 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a lot of people actually have been playing it more than I have and have, I guess, beaten the game. And I guess after 6 weeks you can expect that. I mean, the game seemed enormous to me. It seemed like it was a game you could play for months. But then again, perhaps I'm slower than other people when it comes to games of this nature. So I suppose it's not abnormal for after a month to be done with a game, even one that's as vast and content-rich as The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I could see that. And I've seen some people talk on Twitter and stuff about how they beat the game. And I guess, like, one thing that I've read about is that if you kind of go through getting stamina upgrades as opposed to heart container upgrades,
mm-hmm.
in a way it can kind of break the game because you can get to pretty much anywhere eventually if you have enough stamina. But for me personally, the heart container is where it's at. Like, I want to be able to like go through the game kind of as intended, even though...
Well, you got to get at least 13 heart containers right away as fast as you can, you know, for reasons.
Right. Actually, I don't even know what you're talking about, so I'm just gonna,
okay.
I'm just gonna chalk that up to a spoiler.
Say no more than that then.
But at the same time, you know, I know that people are, you know, spamming the stamina thing, and you know, you really can't access anything at that point. But at the same time, I'm like you, really enjoying the slow paced nature of it, and I know what the main quest is. I know what I need to go do. But at the same time, like, I want to go check out this or that. The areas are all so different that it really is, it almost feels like you could play it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even though I have played it a ton, I'm still discovering new stuff every time I play. I mean, like I said, yesterday I beat a new boss, conquered a new area, but there's still new stuff I'm seeing and new quests are popping up as a result of that. So, yeah, I continue to be very, very impressed.
Yeah, it's like mind-blowing that it's on a cartridge, too. I still...
yeah.
Sometimes I think about that, I'm like, what? So weird.
A delicious, delicious cartridge.
I've not licked mine yet, or any, so you'll have to tell me how that goes.
Yeah, you'll have to bring it over so I can give your cartridge a good lick. I don't want to lick mine and sully it, so...
You're a disgusting human.
But yeah, Zelda aside, I do kind of feel like we have run into the traditional Nintendo software drought somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got Zelda, and it's huge. It's like, okay, this is really all you need for the first month. But now we've gone past that first month. And, you know, there's still a bunch of other releases. You know, we've got Snipper Clips, and we've got 1-2 Switch, but, you know, those aren't really my kind of game. And judging from my friends list, it really isn't other people's kind of game either. And then we have, you know, other downloadable titles. I've been trying to play Snake Pass, but the more I'm like halfway through that game now. Now I'm just so frustrated with it, I just want to chuck that game out the window. It's a good thing that's not a cartridge, or I would hurl it across the room. But unfortunately, it's stuck on my system.
Or you'd eat it?
Perhaps. You know, still digging Blaster Master, but still, these are just like bite-sized games, no pun intended. I mean, Zelda, it's more than a main course. It is a feast into itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, everything else is just like a little tidbit, a little snack, and that's not really going to satisfy you no matter what.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, you know, this was sort of the point of the Switch. We're going to have, you know, focus on this one operating system, and so we're going to have a lot more opportunities to not have a software drought. Plus, you know, we've learned from the past, it's not going to happen again. And guess what? It's totally happened again. And so I feel like a lot of people just aren't playing it anymore because of that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think that for a console release, it's doing pretty well. And I think that, you know, Mario Kart's going to hit right at the right time.
Maybe a little bit late.
It might be a little bit late for some folks, but for people like you and me, it's probably too soon, to be honest.
well, that might be.
But I think that that game in particular will really get some longevity out of it. I can't wait to play it, to be honest. And I'm actually going on a trip soon with some friends that own a Switch. So it'll be nice to be able to actually try playing it local multiplayer.
Yeah, that'll be perfect.
In the same room. So we're going to be in Hawaii. So to be in Hawaii and still playing Mario Kart is kind of nerdy. But I imagine that is going to happen at night for sure.
There's certainly appeal to multiplayer Mario Kart on the beach.
I can't think of a beach level from Mario Kart, but the name of one off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm sure there's one out there.
Anyway, I'd argue it's maybe a little bit late. I think maybe if it had come out about now, earlier in the month, you know, a month after the system had been out, then we get our next big release. Okay, that seems a little more reasonable. But yeah, this drought, it's not going to last very long. Because we're going to get Mario Kart really soon. Mm-hmm. Then next month, we're going to have Minecraft. And I don't know. I mean, that's not published first party. And, you know, it's a game that's been around a while. Mm-hmm. So maybe this doesn't really fill the void. But then after that, we have ARMS. Then after that, we have Splatoon. And, you know, who knows what's coming after that. Maybe then we get Fire Emblem Warriors or something along those lines.
Yeah.
They still need to step it up, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I still, like, I stand by this. I told this to a friend the other day, and I was, like, you know, adamant that the Switch, to me now, is really the focus of, if I want to buy an indie game, then mm-hmm. I would buy it on Switch before any other console now. And it's simply for the fact that I can now play it when I'm, you know, on a plane, mm-hmm. or I can play yep. it, you know, handheld mode. I can play it on my television, and it looks great. Like, for example, I bought, you know, Shovel Knight on 3DS. I did the mm-hmm. Kickstarter, and I got it on 3DS. And yep, there's times too. Where I'm like, I really would like to play this on the television just to see how that looks. But I kind of refuse to pay for it again, even though I shouldn't, because they're a great developer and the game's awesome. It really is.
Yeah, I bought it twice. I bought it on 3DS and on Wii U. So.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about buying it on Switch.
So am I. Going back to your point of being able to play indie games on the go, and that the fact that Switch is seeming like a great place for indie games, yes. I mean, we haven't totally experienced that yet, mm-hmm. but judging from the Nindies event a few weeks ago, judging from what we saw at the Nintendo Direct today, yes, that does seem to be very, very much the case. And also judging from the Nintendo Direct today, you know, this drought that I feel like we're kind of in isn't going to last long. Because in addition to those big titles like Kart and ARMS and Splatoon, there are, you know, lots of other smaller things on the way. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel that way right now, that there just isn't enough stuff out there. But I'm hoping that will be corrected very soon.
Yeah.
Still, 6 weeks out there, I feel like there should have been more stuff at launch.
Yeah, I can feel you on that for sure. I wanted to give you just a quick segue here. I actually have been working with one of Nintendo's developers, an indie developer. They're called Cipronia. And if you don't know who that is, I wouldn't be surprised. But they actually make Cube Life Island Survival. And that came out for the Wii U. And believe it or not, I actually helped name that game. And do some of their marketing for them, at least, you know, some of the localization of the trailers and whatnot. It's really funny. I just work with this guy in my super spare time, but, you know, they're a fun developer. They've made some quirky stuff, but anyways, I just want to give a shout out to them, in case they're listening.
Okay. Good to know. So, back to Switch though, what do you feel is missing at this point? I mean, I know what I think is missing. The eShop, for one thing, it still feels like they're really not quite done with the eShop. It feels like they threw that thing out there and it wasn't quite ready to go. And, you know, so it's lacking, you know, personality. It's lacking music. And it's especially lacking virtual console. Mm-hmm. Where are those things? When are we going to get them? Why aren't they here yet?
Yeah, the eShop is blowing my mind right now. It like literally feels like somebody just made like a website and it's basically just being pulled in. And I think that actually is how it's working. But I can also understand why they maybe did it that way. Maybe they, you know, maybe it was a little early. Maybe they wanted to just get something out there. And,
probably.
And, you know, I'm assuming that something, you know, a little more substantial and you know, when you compare this eShop to the Wii U or the 3DS even, it's kind of insane. It's like...
Yeah, just so bare bones.
Yeah, it really does. It feels like I'm just on a website.
And sterile.
But I also think it's kind of cool that they've been able to kind of make it a little more flexible. For example, they just like all of a sudden added...
That's true.
...added like the, you know, bestsellers. And who knows, they might continue to do little updates like that. At the same time, I do expect from Nintendo just a slightly more robust eShop with some music and maybe some like promotional space. But you know what? I'd rather see them keep it simple and not break anything than do too much and have it be a disaster.
Yeah, there is something to be said for simple, but I feel like when you're talking Nintendo, you really got to have that Nintendo heart and that Nintendo spirit, and I really want to see that come back. Mm-hmm. But to go along with that, I would also really like to see them have some functionality, like being able to actually just browse titles A to Z. You know, I'm begging you, just give me something simple like that. So if I don't know what's in there, I can just browse A to Z. I would really like that quite a bit.
You ask for too much, my friend. So piggybacking on your concept of the, you know, the eShop being a little bare bones, I think that if you look at the OS in general, the operating system on it, I think that you'll really find that it, compared to the past previous Nintendo consoles, is very bare bones also. It almost feels like it was made by someone else. legitimately made by a third party that, you know, while Nintendo was working on the hardware and all that, they might have had somebody else do it. And then, you know, they kind of added like little bells and whistles, like, for example, the avatar creator, which is pretty cool, if not limited. Mm-hmm. But some of that stuff is really, really pretty cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on one hand, I think that's good. You know, it's nice to have a nice, clean interface, nothing that's too overly cluttered. But again, it really feels like it's missing that Nintendo flair, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like when you look at like the Wii U, for example, if you just boot that up, even when it was in its infancy, it still had like a ton of character. Whereas the Switch just has this like sort of a lack of character. It almost feels like, if for a lack of a better way of saying it, like a menu for a Fire Stick or, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah. And I hate to diss on it. Again, I think that they're probably somewhere in a lab working on a really awesome OS.
I hope so.
But this isn't like a bad one. It's just not Nintendo-ish. Which,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is if this were from anybody else, it would be fine. If this were Apple or Sony or Microsoft, I'd probably be like, hey, this is perfectly acceptable.
Right.
But from Nintendo, I just expect you know, something more and different out of them.
Right. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do now. And I almost would have hoped that in the Nintendo Direct, they gave some sort of like timeline on when you'd expect more like that. But, you know, well, they've probably got something brewing, and knowing them, and we'll see.
You know, I'm hoping that because online is such a big, important part of Splatoon 2, that we will get a nice update around the time that releases. Mm-hmm. But who knows? You know, the paid online isn't coming until fall. And I would hate to think they were just saving it for then, because I want them to have it out there and be right. Like, okay, look, here's how it really is going to be. Here's the full-fledged thing. This is what you'll be getting if you shell out the money. And you know, I want to be able to let people see that and experience it for a couple of months before they adopt that paid model, you know, some proof of concept. I don't want it to just change all then and be like, okay, well, before this is what you got for free, you got nothing. And now start paying for the real thing.
Right. So. Yeah, no, you're right. It does feel kind of strange if that's how they approach it. I think that you have a very good point in the fact that maybe when the right online titles come out to support it, that they'll actually then sort of update the way it works and all that. But we'll see.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. The other thing that, you know, not necessarily missing, but something that I would really like to see is if they would introduce some sort of Street Pass functionality.
Yes.
I mean, as I talked about last week, that is my most played 3DS game. I have spent hundreds of hours with the Street Pass functionality on 3DS, and it would make a lot of sense to bring that over to the Switch, and then suddenly I'll be carrying around the Switch in my pocket every single day, every time I leave the house, every time that I take a walk through the park. It would be really nice to have that extra reason to carry it around with you all the time.
Yeah, totally. The Street Pass is so funny. It's like one of those features where it's so Nintendo in the fact that it's like a great feature, but like you almost can't explain the feature to someone and have them care. But if they try it themselves, they will like mm-hmm. they will love it. And you're right. I know for a fact it's the most played game on my 3DS as well. And it's funny because you'd think that with the Switch, they could probably make some really fantastic games, or at least have like a bigger queue so you can have more Street Passes in your database. So like when you go to a convention or something, it can literally store like 100. And then when you get
much
home,
better than 10.
Yeah, which honestly, I wish that had been something that they could have updated on the 3DS.
Yeah, for sure.
But the fact
I mean, they kind of did, but I never figured out how that update worked. But I digress. So
right, but the fact the that Switch. They haven't even really talked about that, or even
it doesn't seem like they're even considering it.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder if the functionality is built in, or you know, it seems like it would be, but you know, I'm not a hardware expert, so it's you know. Mm-hmm. Can't say definitively, but you'd think that they've got to be thinking something like that.
Yeah, I would really like it if that was in there. So I wouldn't really say it's missing, but I would really like it if they did add it in.
Yeah, it's like a killer app, really.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, it's really sort of you know underappreciated and really subtle, but you know, for people like you and me, it, you know, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, though, that's definitely missing is the ability to turn off the console. Have you tried to turn this thing off?
Well, you can, right?
It's hard.
You can do it when it's a handheld mode, but you can't turn it off when it's docked, right?
Well, you can. You can. But you have to go over to it, hold down the power button for 5 seconds,
right.
And then a menu pops up on the screen. So that's the thing is usually if I'm at the console, I'm not holding the controller, so I just have to, and I'm not looking at the screen. So it's all really weird. I mean, I guess I remember to walk over to it, hold it down, still hold the controller, select power off, then it works just fine.
Really,
but seriously, I am begging the folks at Nintendo just to add that in to when you hold down the home button. Hold it down, and then you can select sleep or just select power off. Because that's how I've been playing, is mostly docked, mostly with the Pro Controller.
Right.
It would be great to be able to just turn it off that way. Because I actually left the whole the thing on for a week because I didn't realize what I was doing. I was out of town. I was in the wilderness, and I accidentally left on in sleep mode, and that was unfortunate.
That is very unfortunate. Yeah, that you make an interesting point. There definitely is some quirks to the whole on-off sleep. It almost reminds me of how, like, on your iPhone now, you can never really stop a song. It just paused, and like it confuses the heck out of my dad. It's like, how do you actually just stop music? And I'm like, well, Dad, you just pause it, and that's good. Anyway, kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, Chris. So one thing I think is blatantly missing from the OS is a Miiverse application.
Oh yeah.
You know,
you are totally right.
Yeah, it's weird because it seems like it'd be perfect for that. You could have the ability to draw on your screen and, mm-hmm. You know, the obviously.
Well, so we've got that built-in share button.
Yeah.
That makes it really, really easy.
Right.
But you're right. Instead of being able to post to Miiverse, You can just post Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah. So do you think that that might be coming still, or do you think that that's, you know, what's your guess on that?
I mean, the fact that they haven't really mentioned it at all, I kind of think that Miiverse did. I mean, you know how Nintendo works. You were there long enough to know they always like to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what Miiverse was. It was Nintendo's own take on a social network, kind of like Miitomo is. They're both Nintendo's take on a social network that they can sort of monitor and control and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at this point, they have finally become comfortable enough with things like Twitter and Facebook. They're like, okay, you know what? These aren't so bad. We'll actually let these exist outside of our control, and we'll just do it that way.
Hmm.
And so I think that's probably what they've decided. But yes, I do prefer Miiverse often than going into the wide world of other social media. So I'm with you. I would totally like to see that make a comeback.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm assuming that they are working on a Miiverse replacement. I don't know if it's going to be Miiverse in particular, but I would just like to see them do something of that nature where it's sort of like a Switch proprietary application that kind of lets you share screenshots a la the way PS4 works or Xbox One. There's some sharing functionality in there, but I'd like to see the Nintendo mm-hmm. version of that, because Nintendo's so good at making these, you know, making that kind of concept their own and making mm-hmm. it inherently fun and kind of one of those things that before you jump into a game, you just kind of look through and you want to see, you know, what people have done recently or any goofy screenshots. Like if, mm-hmm. you know, if you happen to be riding a bear or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I certainly see the appeal of being like, look, we make games, let's focus on games. Let's let someone else focus on social networks. But I agree, when they do that stuff, they tend to do it really well. So I would certainly like to have that continue on the Switch. But speaking of, you know, applications, I guess, I kind of feel like they're missing an opportunity to not put their smartphone apps onto the Switch.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
You can carry this thing around basically as just a tablet with a touchscreen. You don't have to have the Joy-Cons attached. You know, it's pretty slim and it almost fits in your pocket that way. And, you know, I feel like they should probably have those same games on there. I mean, I know a lot of people have smartphones, have iPhones, have Android, but you know, maybe not everyone does. So if you want to just play a touch-based game like Fire Emblem Fates mm-hmm. or Mario Run, or, well, you can probably give up on Miitomo at this point.
Hey, whoa now.
I do feel like, you know, it would be nice if those were somehow playable on Switch.
I completely agree. It's funny. I was actually just thinking about that today. I don't know if you're a big Fire Emblem Fates fan.
Not a big fan, but I've certainly been playing it, and I was revisiting it just last night.
Yeah, it'd be great if that was you had the ability to play that on Switch. It'd be even better if you could somehow keep your save file, transfer it between the two platforms. Which, yeah. You know, I assume that there is some way to do that. Who knows? Maybe they have a plan to do that.
They do have this Nintendo network, you'd think.
That's true. But then I also wonder if they want to keep that experience separate. It might not be beyond them to want to try and keep those, you know, those universes in different platforms. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly could understand if that's the way it stays. But hey, when you've got what's basically a Nintendo-branded tablet, you know, makes sense to put those experiences there.
Yeah, I mean, for that matter, even Pokemon Go, if there was a way to even potentially do it. I know that's almost...
Well, that'll be really hard because when you take the Switch on the go, no pun intended, you're not online anymore. You know, with the other ones, you have to be, you know, usually in Wi-Fi range. And I could see, you know, there's no real reason that you have to be online all the time for Fates and Mario Run. You know, I know that's how they built the games, but it seems like it's not necessary. Whereas Go, you'd have to be. So I can't see that working at all.
That's true, unless they somehow had some other mechanic. But yeah, you're right. It is a stretch.
All right. So with all that said, what else do you want to see from Switch in the future? Obviously, we talked about these things they're missing and things that we would, you know, like to see show up. But aside from that, you know, with software or whatever else, what do you want to see coming to Switch
So I'm going to go to a very weird place, and I'm going to say,
oh my.
With the announcement of the new dock, or not new dock, but additional docks that you can purchase, I really want just a cradle. I want to be able to, so the Switch, I play sometimes in bed. I want to be able to just, you know, not to mention the PS Vita, but that had a cool little cradle that kind of put your console at a 45 degree angle. And, you know, I just want something like that where it's like on my nightstand, it costs maybe $20 and I can just slot it in. And
so the stand isn't doing it for you, the built-in stand?
Well, no. Because for one, when you have the stand on, you can't actually charge it. So that's not good. But then,
that's a good point.
Then there are cradles. They just don't have an actual plug that you set it on. So I just want something that, you know, maybe there's going to be a Kickstarter or something, but I just want something where you can kind of holster your system without having it docked to a television and make it cheap, you know, have something pretty inexpensive that you can just kind of keep on your nightstand or your coffee table, whatever have you.
Yeah, that probably would be a good idea. I haven't really used mine in that mode that much, so I haven't really felt that. But yeah, I can understand that for sure. Anything else that you're hoping to see? What about software-wise?
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing for me was I really wanted to get some dates on some of these titles, and that Nintendo Direct covered a lot of those, so that's good. I do hope that there's maybe some surprises out there.
I'm sure we'll get surprises at E3, I have no doubt.
Yeah, we know what the rest of the year looks like, but there's got to be something in there. You know, we know Mario Odyssey is coming.
Yep.
But you kind of have to wonder, is there a Smash Brothers looming in the wings somewhere?
You know, I kind of thought there was, and I thought that would be when they would finally bring out the Smash Amiibo. Mm-hmm. But now that the Smash Amiibo are coming out and there's not a Switch game to go with it, now I totally wonder. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, what were they waiting for if they weren't waiting for the Switch re-release of Smash?
It is one of those things that make you go,
Yes, yes indeed. aside from that, of course, you know, I'm still crossing my fingers and holding out hope for Metroid, and more Metroid.
Oh, I know. The console seems like it would be so perfect for a Metroid. Even, this sounds funny, but even playing Breath of the Wild and, you know, Link kind of descends into these shrines, every time it happens, I just can't help but kind of like have a flashback to Metroid and just think.
Oh. Yeah, it is like a Metroid elevator now that you mention
it. It is, right? It's got like a little, little of that. Even the tech aspect of Breath of the Wild kind of has that Metroid-y flavor to it.
No, there was that concept art that seemed to be very Metroid inspired. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I'll take my Metroid any way I can get it. 2D, 3D, Prime, not Prime, whatever. I just want a new Metroid.
Federation form?
No, but I will take Other M too. also, the more I see Arms, the more I want a legit Punch Out game. I mean, Arms looks cool, but I would like to see another Punch-Out game. Very, very much.
Yeah, Punch-Out would be pretty awesome. What about a Wii Sports 2? A proper Wii Sports 2?
Well, that name would have to go. And we did have Wii Sports Resort, so... but, you know, Switch Sports? It's not something I'm excited about personally. But, you know, if they could do it right? I don't know. I'm going to say no, because clearly the Switch is not the expanded audience console that the Wii was. I think they're probably better off staying away from that. I mean, maybe they could integrate some of those ideas into like a new Mario Sports game or something like that. So I wouldn't rule out the possibility entirely when it comes to gameplay mechanics, but I don't think that going down that same path is what they should do anymore. They've chosen a different path, and I think that's wise.
Yeah, I agree.
The last thing I want to mention that I really hope comes out is a game that I talked about here a couple weeks ago, that Seiken Densetsu collection from Square. I really hope that those guys decide to support that and bring it out to North America, along with, you know, the Switch version of Dragon Quest XI. So, really cross my fingers for some good Japanese Square Enix support.
Yeah, Dragon Quest XI would be great, I think. I've been paying attention to that just to see if any announcements are coming out, but none so far, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, there was new footage shown of the PS4 and 3DS versions just a couple days ago,
right.
And the 3DS version still looks, you know, crazy cool, and I love the fact that it has both that 2D and 3D view in there. But yeah, I still am waiting for a U.S. announcement as well as an official Switch announcement for the U.S. So,
right.
So I really hope that we get a lot of good Japanese Square Enix support.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I love the game that I've seen so far. I can't remember the name. Title escapes me.
Oh, the one from the Bravely Default team. Yeah.
Right. That looks cool, right?
Yeah, that one does look really cool.
Yeah.
Really neat. And that one we are going to get. So, yeah, that's exciting. So hopefully we'll get a release date on that sooner or later.
Cool, yeah. The other thing that I would really like to see on Switch, and I know this is super lame, and some people don't care about this at all, but themes. I like.
Oh, yeah.
Where are those? Like, even if the OS doesn't get any different, I would really like to just see some options for kind of customizing the way you get to look at your console.
Yeah, totally. We got the light theme, the dark theme. Let's at least get some other colors, but hopefully, you know, specific, you know, game themes and stuff. I want to, you know, dress up my console with a Zelda interface or a Metroid interface or something like that. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we were talking about the OS earlier. Yeah, that was something I meant to bring up. So thank you for reminding me.
Of course. The what's a nemesis for?
So yeah, 6 weeks in, I think there's a lot of things they could have done better. I'm still pleased with the console overall, and I like where it's going. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on that.
Cool. Yeah, I won't kick it out of bed.
All right, that's good to hear. And with that, I guess this wraps up this surprisingly long edition of this show. However, before we go, we do still have time for one more thing.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
And that is a dramatic reading.
My favorite.
This time from, completely by coincidence, the back of the box of the Game Boy game, Nemesis. Your dignity won't be all you'll lose if you're beaten by the King. As chief of the Interplanetary Police, you thought you put evil King Nemesis behind bars for good. But, fresh out of the solar slammer on the technicality, he's just put a $1 billion bounty on your head. And now his heinous horde of henchmen are looking to make some quick cash. But you've got more than a six-zapper up your sleeve. You've got the Proteus 911, the most technologically sophisticated flying machine of death ever invented. So strap yourself into this unmarked pressure-cooking starfighter. Power up your arsenal with land-blasting lasers, mauling missiles, and dual devices of destruction. Then blast the King's 5 brain-draining levels, including the sacrificial sarcophagus of Saturn. And keep wailing away until the King and his fools learn that crime doesn't pay.
That's amazing.
Have you ever played this game? Have you ever played Nemesis?
I know I have. You sent me that picture on Twitter, and it looked super familiar. I've definitely seen the box art. I just can't remember playing it.
I play it. It's been a long time, but it is a Gradius spinoff. It is a spinoff of the Gradius series. And I assure you, in the game, there is nothing about Interplanetary Police, King Nemesis,
or the Solar Slammer,
billion-dollar bounties, I'm pretty sure the final boss is like a giant computer you just blow up. And that's the whole thing. So
I know. There's some artistic license going on in the background.
Yeah, I don't know what the folks at Konami were thinking when they cooked up this back of the box, but it must have been pretty good. I mean, you would think I'm flying through space, you know, shooting out missiles and fighting aliens and giant spaceships would be enough, but no, it's got to go to all this crazy nonsense.
They just don't make them like that anymore, do they? That
is true. They definitely, definitely don't.
It's amazing.
Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter, at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, of course, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Old Nemmy Cakes.
Here, Fox, use this. Your shields will be slightly replenished.
And the sexiest man in the sea, Prince Sidon.
Up top, above you.
We will see you next time.